from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Australian Prime Minister to discuss Indonesia-Australia CIPA with Indonesian President. Indonesia and Namibia have potency to increase trade value. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo or Jokowi welcomed Namibian President Hage Geingob Gottfried visit in Bogor Presidential Palace on Thursday. At the press conference, President Joko Widodo said that Indonesia would increase the cooperation with Namibia on infrastructure and trade field. On the infrastructure development in Namibia, specifically in people's house development in Namibia, PT WIKA working together with Namibia company. There are 2,000 social housing projects and even bigger units. I have asked President Geingob's support to make the business agreement can be signed immediately on Indonesia-Africa Infrastructure Dialogue held in August 2019 in Bali. Meanwhile, Namibian President Hage Gottfried Geingob said that Namibia was a country which fought against corruption. Therefore, he also welcomed Indonesia, which eagerly fought against corruption. He also affirmed that the two countries could cooperate in fighting against the corruption in the two countries. On the visit, President Jokowi and President Geingob also planted Ulin Kayu Tree together in Bogor Presidential Palace backyard. Former Malaysian Vice Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim met President Jokowi at the Bogor Presidential Palace on Thursday. When receiving Anwar, President Joko Widodo was accompanied by a number of officials such as Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi, State Secretariat Minister Pratikno, Public Works and Housing Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono, and Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung. Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi said that President Joko Widodo and Anwar exchanged thoughts on many issues. President Jokowi and former Prime Minister Anwar exchanged thoughts on many issues. Mr. Anwar Ibrahim also conveyed greetings from Mr. Mahathir Muhammad because 2 days prior to his meeting with President Jokowi, Anwar held a meeting with Mr. Mahathir Muhammad. Mahathir Muhammad also told his great impressions regarding with his previous visit. Mahathir Muhammad told about the commitment to continuously improving relationship with Indonesia. Meanwhile, Anwar Ibrahim said that it is a perfect time for Indonesia and Malaysia to strengthen their diplomatic relationship. On the same occasion, President Jokowi expressed his hope and message to take care of Indonesian citizens in Malaysia. President Jokowi also asked for support to protect Indonesian citizens and remarked the importance of building continuous cooperation in struggling for palm oil commodity together in the global market, as the product is often underestimated in the global market. Australian Prime Minister Scott John Morrison, during a visit to Indonesia, will discuss various issues with President Joko Widodo, especially on the Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, IACFA. Indonesia's Foreign First Minister Retno LP Marsudi stated at the Bogor Presidential Palace on Thursday that Morrison will pay a visit to Indonesia on August 31, a week after being sworn in as Prime Minister. Morrison's visit can be viewed as Australia's commitment to intensifying bilateral ties with Indonesia. Retno added, One of the issues to be discussed is still in the context of how to finalize the negotiations on the Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Partnership Agreement. However, most of it has been completed. The visit will demonstrate Australia's commitment to further enhancing cooperation with Indonesia. She said, as of Thursday, both sides still negotiating matters not related to IACPA, but it should be awaited whether negotiations in other sectors could be completed. Indonesian Industry and Chamber of Commerce signed a trade agreement with Namibia Industry and Chamber of Commerce. On the agreement, the two countries agreed to share information on trade and investment. The signing of the agreement is assumed as the first step to increase Indonesian trade and investment in the country, which declared its independence in 1991. African Director of Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Daniel Tumpal Simanjuntak in Jakarta on Wednesday said that Indonesian businessmen have invested in Namibia since a few years ago. However, the investment was dominated by outbound investment or foreign direct investment, which was not recorded in export and import data.
Tidak selalu export-import. Yeah. Di Indonesia ya, apa di sana itu ada namanya.
It is not always export and import, but also outbound investment. But the outbound investment is not recorded. We have some companies. The trade data is commodity by definition through export custom. But there are many interesting prospective markets. For instance, our companies invest there. It is not the exit money, so we don't see the exit item from Tanjung Priok. Daniel Tumpal added that one of Indonesian investment in Namibia was the acquisition of Maurel and From Oil and Gas Company by PT Pertamina State-Owned Enterprises through PT Pertamina International EP subsidiary. PT Pertamina International EP controls 72.65% of oil and gas company since February 1, 2017, centered in France. Meanwhile, Namibia Ministry of Trade and Industry, Chekero Tweya, said that there were some points which could be considered by Indonesia to invest in Namibia. One of them was the bountiful natural resources like uranium and cobalt. Another reason was Namibia was the right gate for Indonesia to reach South African market and the world with its strategic location. Tweya added that Namibian government also has prepared various incentives for Indonesian investors. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. One of Namibia President Hage Geingob Jacobs' agendas during his visit to Indonesia is to attend Indonesia-Namibia Business Forum. The meeting was held on Indonesia-Namibia Industry and Trade Commerce Corporation on Wednesday. President Geingob met Indonesian businessmen such as Head of Indonesian Industry and Chamber of Commerce Roshan Roslani and Vice Head of Indonesian Industry and Chamber of Commerce in the International Relationship Field Shinta W. Kamdani on the van. After Indonesia-Namibia Business Forum, Roshan Roslani said that the visit became the opportunity to increase economic cooperation for the two countries through the exchange information. He hoped that there would be enhancement of trade value between the two countries, since it is only relying on one commodity type. Besides, he was optimistic that Indonesia could increase export to Namibia after the Indonesia-Namibia Business Forum.
Ya kita kan mau exchange information dulu, rencananya itu yang kita lakukan adalah exchange information dulu. Ya tentunya kita tentu mengharapkan ini ada kenaikan.
We want to exchange information, so we certainly hope that there is enhancement. I can't tell how much the enhancement because they exactly only export zinc. There's nothing but zinc, so we see what we can take from their items, and I see that we can export more than them, so we are not unproductive. Furthermore, Roshan Roslani said that Namibia was one of non-traditional markets which had the big potency for Indonesian commodity. The country, which was newly independent from South Africa in 1991, kept having the positive economic growth. However, during this time, the potency was still not managed well. Indonesian and Namibia trade value was recorded only $4 million US in 2016 and decreased to be $3.2 million US. From the total amount, Indonesian trade value to Namibia was minus. The Jakarta Composite Index, JCI, dropped 67 points or 1.15% to 5,951.55 at 9:10 a.m. on Friday, as all groups of stocks dropped to the red zone. Seven of the 10 sectors weakened more than 1%, while the diversified industry sector was corrected up to 2%. It further weakened as of Thursday, the JCI decreased 0.76% when the trading was closed, sparked by profit-taking and rupiah weakening. Analysts say that JCI weakening was caused by pressure on the global bourses due to the worsening trade war between the United States and China. The night before, the Argentine Central Bank increased its reference rate by 60% to help the peso's exchange rate, which dropped 24% against the US dollar in August. Meanwhile, the Nikkei Index dropped 0.14%, Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index dropped 1.39%, the Shanghai Index dropped 0.5%, the Shanghai Index dropped 0.54%, and Australia's ASX index dropped 0.90%. Police in Bali have tightened security against infiltration of terrorists to the island, which will host the next annual meeting of the International Monetary Fund, IMF, and the World Bank in October this year. Bali police have set up a task force to detect possible infiltration. Bali police have set up a task force to detect possible infiltration of terrorists being covered by the police anti-terror squad Densus 88, Bali Police Chief Spokesman Senior Commissioner Hanky Wijaya said on Friday. Hanky said Bali Police Chief Inspector General Petrus R. Gulose has passed an order to act firmly by shooting terrorists on the spot if necessary. He said police are busy not only in Bali but all over the country to track down suspected terrorists. Golosi said police and the military regularly hold security simulation ahead of the IMF World Bank meeting every week. Security officers include police headquarters and East Java Police, and licensed officers have been made ready for the security of the delegations to be for the security of the delegations to the big meeting. Between 12,000 to 15,000 people are expected to attend the annual meetings, including about 3,500 delegates from 189 member countries, roughly 1,000 media representatives, and more than 5,000 participants representing the private sector, the banking community, academic institutions, civil society organizations, and also observers and parliamentarians. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is European Union and Iranian Post-US Slip-in Nuclear Agreement. European Union and Iranian relations after United States left the joint nuclear agreement don't appear to be getting closer. Early after United States President Donald Trump decided not to continue the nuclear agreement with Iran, the European Union sought to be unable to be consistent with the previous stance. One of the European Union member countries that started to stay away from Iran is France. The internal order the French government asked its foreign ministry, diplomats and officials to postpone indefinitely all unimportant trips to Iran. The plan of the burn attack on protests by Iranian opposition groups near Paris and a change in Tehran's attitude are the causes of a change in France's stance towards Iran. France is one of the countries supporting Iran's nuclear agreement in 2015. With other European countries, it tried to help Iran ease the impact of US sanctions. Iran's economy, which has improved, is now hit by the imposition of US sanctions. After no longer receiving support from the European Union, Iran is also ready to issue a statement to be no longer committed to the nuclear agreement. Iran's supreme leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei stressed Iran's ready to abandon the agreement. Even Iran does not hesitate to end the agreement if it is no longer in line with the country's interest. According to Khamenei, Iran should not depend on Europe despite promises from Europe. In addition to outside pressure, President Mohammad Khatami is also facing a crisis because Iranian parliament has sacked the Minister of Labor and Finance. There are still two ministers who will face the same fate. The world witnessed a way out when the United States and Europe signed a nuclear joint agreement with Iran. But now the hope of solving this problem is getting further away. If left unchecked, problems in the Middle East region will be increasingly complicated. Of course, this is not expected to occur. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day. Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Listener, this is RRI World Service with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. The first event is about the legalization of Indonesia's fundamental organization, namely Young Indonesia or the Indonesian Youth, on August 31, 1926. The purposes of establishing Young Indonesia or the Indonesian Youth were building and accomplishing unity of Indonesia. The struggle of achieving unity was based on the spirit of nationalism in a bid to establish the glorious Indonesia. Most youth movements before the Youth Pledge in 1928 were only established regionally. Therefore, on August 15, 1926, several youth organizations held a meeting in Jakarta to form the Indonesian Students Association, and the result was the legalization of a new fundamental organization named Young Indonesian or the Indonesian Youth. The Indonesian Students Association initiated the implementation of Second Youth Congress. The Second Youth Congress contributed the Second Youth Pledge on October 28, 1928. The next event is the independence of Trinidad and Tobago from Britain on August 31, 1962. Trinidad and Tobago is a country in South America. It was invaded by Spain in 1797. For several centuries, Trinidad and Tobago was occupied in turn by Spain, Britain, France, and the Netherlands. Trinidad and Tobago was in the hands of Britain since the signing of the Treaty of Amiens in 1802 between Britain and France. Trinidad and Tobago achieved its independence from Britain on 31st of August 1962. We end Mosaic of the Archipelago with information of on 31st of August 2012 when Angola held a general election under the new constitution. Angola held a legislative and presidential election on August 31st, 2012. It was the third general election held since Angola ceased the civil war occurring for 27 years in 1975. The general election of August 31, 2012 was a new general election conducted under the new constitution abolishing the direct presidential election. As the new constitution applied in 2010, the chairman of party which won the general election was automatically appointed as president. Incumbent President Jose Eduardo dos Santos again secured his position after the MPLA party
gained the highest votes in the election with approximately 74% votes. Listener, that was Today in History.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to My Indonesia. In today's edition, we will bring a topic about Indonesia helps Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC countries, in developing vaccines. Indonesia will help Islamic Cooperation Organization OIC member countries in developing vaccine. It is because Indonesian vaccine production has been approved by WHO. Managing Director of Bio Farma, M. Rahman Rustan, in Jakarta on Monday, August 27, as released by Republika, said that Bio Farma Pharmacy Company has also been appointed as Center of Excellence on Vaccine and biotechnology product. Therefore, OIC countries like Morocco and Tunisia come to Indonesia to learn how to produce vaccine from Indonesia. M. Rahman Rustan said that Bio Farma has also signed an agreement with Saudi Arabia. According to M. Rahman Rustan, Bio Farma's collaboration in transferring technology is to fulfill the needs of vaccine not only in Saudi Arabia, but also in Gulf countries. Furthermore, M. Rahman Rustan said that from 57 member countries of OIC, only 7 countries have vaccine factory, while Indonesia's vaccine has been acknowledged by the WHO. Moreover, he added that Indonesian vaccines has been used by more than 130 countries, 49 of them were OIC countries. Therefore, Bio Farma would help OIC countries to produce basic immunization vaccines such as polio, measles, tetanus, diphtheria, and the latest pentavalent, so that they are able to produce and fulfill their own vaccine needs. Meanwhile, delegation of Tunisia and Morocco, who representing the Ministry of Health, Institut Pasteur de Tunis Vaccine Industry and Pasteur du Maroc Institute, visited Bio Farma in Bandung on Tuesday, August 28. They intended to study vaccine production from upstream to downstream. Indonesia, which has been appointed as Vaccine Research Center in OIC for vaccines and biotechnology field in last December 2017, began to invite attention of OIC member countries, including Tunisia and Morocco. Managing Director of PT Bio Farma, M. Rahman Rustan, said that Tunisia and Morocco delegation are interested in studying vaccine management and production. He added, the cooperation has currently been running with Saudi Arabia to fulfill the vaccine needs in the country as well as in the Gulf country. Besides learning about vaccine production, Bio Farma also invites OIC member countries to conduct research together to find new vaccines to prevent new diseases or other innovations. The collaboration program to strengthen Indonesia-Morocco-Tunisia development cooperation through reverse linkage was held on August 27-30, 2018 in Jakarta and Bandung with the support of Minister of National Planning and Development, Ministry of Health, Drug and Food Supervisory Agency, and Bio Farma. Minister of National Development Planning, Head of National Planning and Development, Bambang Brojonegoro, said that the knowledge-sharing activities were the government's effort in implementing national policies. The activity is aimed to bridge Bio Farma to make cooperation with Morocco and Tunisia. That's My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo welcomed Namibian President Hage Geingob Gegenkaf's visit in Bogor Presidential Palace on Thursday. On the press conference, President Joko Widodo said that Indonesia would increase the cooperation with Namibia on infrastructure and trade field. Former Malaysian Vice Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim met President Joko Widodo at the Bogor Presidential Palace on Thursday. Australian Prime Minister Scott John Morrison, during a visit to Indonesia, will discuss various issues with President Joko Widodo, especially on the Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, IACFA. Indonesian Industry and Chamber of Commerce signed a trade agreement with Namibia Industry and Chamber of Commerce. On the agreement, the two countries agreed to share information on trade and investment. One of Namibian President Hage Geingob Gegenkaf's agendas during his visit to Indonesia is to attend Indonesia-Namibia Business Forum. The meeting was held on Indonesia and Namibia Industry and Trade Commerce Cooperation on Wednesday. The Jakarta Composite Index dropped 67 points or 1.15% to 5,951.55 at 9:10 a.m. on Friday as all groups of stocks dropped to the red zone. Police in Bali have tightened security against infiltration of terrorists to the island, which will host the next annual meeting of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank in October this year. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Bukalah matamu, kuatkan hatimu, berikan energi di dalam semangatmu. Tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi. Inilah saatnya, namamu bergema. Maknai kekalahan sebagai kemenangan yang tertunda. Jangan pernah berputus asa, jadi yang terbaik.
still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. Today, we will bring you a topic about Tebe dance. Stay tuned. Listener, on August the 23rd, the 2018 Cross-Border Malacca Festival was held in Malacca Regency, East Nusa Tenggara. The 2018 Cross-Border Malacca Festival is an annual event conducted by the Malacca Regency Tourism Department in collaboration with the Tourism Ministry, implemented through music concert as well as arts and cultural performances. The festival began at 4 p.m. Central Indonesia time. It was started by a traditional dance performance from Malacca, namely Likurai dance, performed by dozens of teenagers from Fajar Timur Kobalima dance group. After watching Likurai dance, spectators were presented with Tebe dance performed by 28 teenagers in couples. Today's Indonesian Wonder will present you the topic of Tebe dance. Listener, Tebe dance is a traditional dance from Belu Regency, Timor Island, East Nusa Tenggara. The dance expresses joy of success or victory represented through the movements of female and male dancers in couples while holding hands as well as reciting songs and poems, namely Kananuk, presenting praises, criticisms, and hopes. They also tap their feet according to the rhythm of the music. Usually, the female dancers form an outer circle and the male dancers will form inner circle. However, it is not an absolute thing. As spectators pack the show, the dancers become more energized to tap their feet and hope. Listener, the dance involving many people used to be performed at night as an expression of gratitude for certain accomplishments, for example, harvesting crops, getting married, or others. However, in the course of time, Tebe dance can be performed anywhere, especially at noon, in a bid to welcome guests and entertain people. When the dance finishes, all dancers will sit together on a huge mat to enjoy cuisine served as the signature of farewell. Tebe dance can be performed by anyone without considering age, degree, and ranks. The dance can be performed by all society, from children, teenagers, adults, elderly, poor, to rich people. They will gather and hold hands while forming a circle without viewing their status. When performing the dance, we can see cheerful expressions of people with smile on their faces. Therefore, the dance is only performed to celebrate happiness and not to be performed at mourning event, as the philosophy of Tebe dance itself is the expression of joy. Mm-hmm. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany. In today's edition, we will explore the topics of Indonesian festival in Moscow. Stay tuned. Indonesian Embassy in Moscow has held 3rd Indonesian Festival in Krasnaya Prashnya Park in Moscow on August 2nd until August 5th. The theme of the festival is Visit Wonderful Indonesia, Explore Our Regions. This activity is the event of trade promotion, investment, tourism, cultural art, and as part of economic diplomacy of Indonesia in Russia. The festival initiated by Indonesian Embassy in Moscow presents the exhibition of Indonesian excellent products from some regions, such as coffee, garment, accessories, palm oil, culinary, and craft, which are spreading 85 booths. Festival Indonesia also presents various arts and culture performances from the regions, such as songs, dances, and musical instruments show both on the main stage and other separated stages. Indonesian Ambassador to Russia and Belarus, M. Wahid Supriyadi, said that the festival is more specially arranged, such as wider location, than the previous festival. And there are special pavilions of Indonesian regions. On this festival, the visitors can see the miniature of Indonesia.
Festivalnya sendiri 3-5, itu jam 12-9.
The festival, which is from August 3rd until August 5th, begins at 12 a.m. until 9 p.m. It is art and cultural performance, but we also create such market there. It is different from the previous year, which was divided into regions. We don't make it into clusters. For instance, there are batik, fashion, handicrafts, culinary, and it lasts until 9 p.m. Listener, Indonesian Festival in Moscow begins with Business Forum of Indonesia-Russia and Business Matching on August 2nd in the World Trade Center. Besides the Governor, Deputy Governor, Regent, and a number of officials of Indonesia, Head of National Development Planning Agency, Bambang Brojonegoro, attended the Business Forum. The forum might be attended by about 500 entrepreneurs, both from Russia and Indonesia. The supporting tourism infrastructure is the main focus in the forum. Nevertheless, other sectors are also going to be discussed in the forum, such as energy, industry, interconnectivity, and palm oil. Listener, that was Miscellany for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, whenever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, I'll present original songs from Bangka Belitung. The first song entitled Injit Injit Semut by The Merchies. In Injit Injit Semut is a regional song from Jambi which was famous among children and often dedicated to accompany them while playing. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Injit Injit Semut by The Merchies. Happy listening! Listener, you've just listened to Injit Injit Semut by The Merchies. This song consists of four stanzas. Each stanza consists of one poem. Injit Injit Semut was usually sung to accompany children's game. It is quite simple game which was played by children around the 70s or 80s by pinching the back of a friend's hand. Those who feel hurt, another hands will rise above and pinch back. The way of the game will be lasted continuously, and the most enduring survivors are declared the winner in the game. Listener, another regional song of Jambi called Selendang Mak Inang. The song Selendang Mak Inang was composed by M. Yusuf Gayos and often played to accompany traditional dance. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Selendang Mak Inang by Ikke Nurjanah. Happy listening!
Selendang lah Mak Inang,
Listener, the song Selendang Ma Inang by Ikke Nurjanah tells about the description of how someone misses his or her beloved hometown. Now, to conclude the segment of Music Cornet for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Negeri Jambi by Ikke Nurjanah. Composed by Andy Gomez and Herman Tebe, the song tells about Jambi, a beautiful, safe, and orderly region with friendly people. Through the lyrics, you are also invited to take care of the region's prosperity. Well, listener, I hope this edition of Music Corner for today can make you know more about Indonesian songs. Happy listening and sampai jumpa!
Voice of Indonesia. VOR. Today's sound.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.